First class trip across the Atlantic. Make sure you put them laces out. I've been out and about, and I'm loud, cause I found another sound. And I'll pound on the ground for my guys across the pond. Kick is matter, that's the song. Trust me when that word is blown. Y'all can clap, clap, sing along. But on a wheel, they got some real deal analysis. Take the wheel, I think I feel like a catalyst. For this build, you know your boy is never out of it. Matter of fact, I think I'll go and win a championship. KMWO, KMWO, man, you know how this go, yeah. KMWO, kick is matter, world order, man, y'all already know, let's go.
Hi everyone, welcome along to the Kickers Matter Fantasy Football Podcast, but this is the Devi version. I'm joined by my co-host, as ever, Jason Wilkinson. How are you doing, mate?
Yeah, good, mate. Thank
good,
you.
Good. We have got Timbo in the building. You all right, Tim?
Hi, mate. I'm just here for production only. Just here for production. With the odd word, pearl of wisdom, but other than that...
Well, you're a Devi virgin, aren't you?
I'm here to learn, just to get ahead of Debbie drafts just before everyone else. That's all.
You're a Debbie virgin, mate.
I am. I've had my hymen touched, but not fully broken.
So tonight we're going to just take a look at our Debbie rankings, the freshman players to keep an eye on, we're going to do some 2021 player talk. Sorry. And how to translate QB success to the NFL. And we've also got a few questions tonight as well, so we'll get into them as well. So, Jason, should we start with these Devi rankings?
Yes, mate. Yeah, I'm interested to see how we differ on ours.
We differed quite a lot last time, I seem to remember.
Yeah, I think we only did a top 10 last time. I don't know, what did you want to do? Did you want to do like a top 5, top 10 at each position? Or what did you want to just do a general like top 20?
Should we just do a general top 15? How's that?
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
Do you want to start? We'll start at 15 then. So do you want to start with your 15 and then I'll fill our in?
Yeah. So I've just got my guys tiered by position and whatnot. So who have I got at 15? So 15, I've got your boy Max Borgi, running back out of Washington State.
Yeah, I've got Borgi a bit higher, which we'll get into in a minute. But I think everyone knows my love of Max Borgi. I've said it all over Twitter. I don't agree with the comps that I've seen on Twitter as of late. I've seen a lot of comps to Christian McCaffrey, which I don't see it at all. But yeah, I've got Borgi at 10, and he hasn't moved from there from the last time we podded. Actually, that's where I had him. Big Max Borgi fan. My number 15 is actually Trevor Lawrence, quarterback, Clemson. You can't really say a lot about Trevor Lawrence. He's going to be very good at the NFL level. I think me and you were in agreement that we thought he would be sort of a Matt Ryan style QB at the next level.
Yeah, I think that's how he. I think he's got a lot more movement than Matt Ryan. He's better running the ball than what Ryan is. He actually had I think he had about 400 rushing yards or something last year. So he has got better movement out of the pocket than what Ryan has. But throwing the ball, his style is quite similar to that of Matt Ryan. But Yeah, that's good shout, 15. So is he your highest quarterback then, is he, or is he not?
Yeah, he's my highest quarterback in this. Obviously, this would change if it was a super flex.
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence is number one then, isn't he, to be honest? So, but yeah, this is we're not talking super flex here. We're just, you know, talking in general. So Trevor Lawrence is there for me.
Yeah.
My number 14 is Tillian Wallace, wide receiver, Oklahoma State.
Okay.
I don't know. Have you got him in your top 15?
Yeah, I've got him at 14 as well, looking at this. He plays in a very upbeat offense. You know, you've got some other guys that are potentially going to come out this year out of that same team. I think he was quite a highly touted prospect coming out, but he needs to put a bit more weight on for me. He's we're going to get into, I think one of the questions is comparing this 2021 class to the 2020 class. So I don't want to go too deep into it, but he is one of many, you know, of these lightweight, deep threat wide receivers coming out next year. And yeah, I'd just like to see a little bit more size on him, because he is a good route runner as well. But I think he needs to thicken up if he's going to play in the slot at the next level.
Yeah, I agree. He needs to. He's not quite polished as the route runner, is he? So to speak,
He isn't asked to run a variety of different routes at Oklahoma State, but I think he is a good route runner. It reminds me a tiny little bit of Stephon Diggs, obviously not quite as good of a route runner, but just that frame and what, you know, the sort of player that he was in college when Diggs was over at Maryland. But yeah, like I say, I just want to see with him how he has how his season is this year. And what sort of weight he comes into the NFL at.
Tim, butt in if you have anything to say on these players. So, 13, who have you got? I'll go with you on this one.
For me, at 13, I've got Breece Hall, running back out of Iowa State. 6'1", 215. He's a sophomore, so he's not coming out until 2022. Very, very good freshman season. I think he caught 30-odd passes out the backfield. 4-star recruit coming out. He's joint first in my 2022 running backs. Overall, I've got him at 13. He's one to watch as well this year because I think he could end up being a first-round draft pick if he has another couple of seasons like he did his freshman season.
Yeah, I agree. I've actually got him at 12 for the same sort of reasons as you said there. He's a big boy as well. I can't add any more to what you said there. I totally agree. My number 13 was Tamorian Terry from Florida State, wide receiver. Obviously, I've seen a lot of Terry. I think he's going to be a good wide receiver at the NFL level, but with wide receivers that come out of Florida State, all I see is Kelvin Benjamin at the minute, which is a bit of a worry. But
God, that puts you off a bit.
It does. But he's got good size, good speed, and strength. I could see him going higher than my ranking here.
I've got him at 16, so he misses out on my top 15.
I think everyone's a bit indifferent with him, aren't they? So everyone's sort of got him here, there, and everywhere within their rankings. It's Kelvin Benjamin. I actually, if we're gonna just talk the 2020 class, I think the 2020 wide receiver class is better than this 2021 class personally.
You think the current class that we've just had is better than the 2021 class?
Personally,
yeah. I mean, we've got a question on that later, so we'll go into depth. But I tend to agree with you there as well, mate. Yeah.
I think it's more in depth. I trust a lot more of these guys that have come out this year than I do some of these guys. And Terry falls into that category, which is why I mentioned it.
Yeah.
So I've said my number 12. So who have you got 12, Jason?
So pick 12 for me. I have got Jerrion Ealy, running back. Out of Ole Miss. This is interchangeable, really, between him and Breece Hall. They're both 2022 guys that are coming out. Breece Hall had the better freshman season. I thought that Jerrion Ealy was the better prospect coming into college football. You have got that worry with Ealy that he's a very, very good baseball player as well. And last year he was sort of at a crossroads as to whether he was going to go pro baseball or pro football. he's obviously, he plays baseball and football for the University of Mississippi. And there's always that chance there that depending on how he gets graded in baseball, that he goes that direction. So it's a tiny little bit of a risk, but I think he could be a very, very good football player.
I was just looking on the Dynasty League Football, actually, website. He's not even in the top. I can't find him.
Jerry and Ealy. I'm having a look on DLF.
He's not in the top 50, is he?
Where is he? Running back.
Reese Hall's a great size for a running back, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. He's already got the weight as well. Like, I think he can put a few more pounds on. He's 215 at the minute. I think he can. If he puts a few more pounds on, then that's what I said earlier. He's a big boy. He's going to be a good running back at the next level.
Jerry and Ealy is their RB17 in Devi.
That's why he's not in the top 50 list that I was looking at here as well. So we move on to 11. So I've got Amon Ras and Brown. Is it cousin of Equiomus or whatever his name is of the Packers?
I think they're brothers. Are they brothers? If they are brothers, then they're built very differently because about 4 inches between them. But yeah, they're definitely related.
Well, I think in the family, they're sort of all athletes, aren't they? So it's, he's got a decent, I don't know, he's very good. In, he's got a higher football IQ from what I can see. I think it's a make or break season for him. We need to see a breakout for him to get the draft capital in the NFL.
Yeah, totally.
He's a very, very polished route runner, though.
He's a very good route runner. There's a lot of young wide receivers at USC that are they're absolutely loaded for talent there. So once he comes out, you know, hopefully he has a decent junior season. You've got a few other like younger guys there. They had a good recruiting class last year that came through. You've got guys like Brew McCoy and players like that that are that he's got to compete with for targets. But the quarterback situation at USC has helped him out quite a lot. Kedon Slovis is a very, very good quarterback there, and they developed a chemistry quite early. So I think you're looking at potentially a day two pick in an NFL draft for Amon-Ra St. Brown. I just hope he goes to the right system. I sort of got to compare him a little bit to AJ Brown. Just not as thick as AJ Brown, not as stocky, but quite a similar player to watch. Certainly how they've been used in college anyway.
Yeah, I agree. Who was your number 11?
So my number 11 is Devonta Smith, wide receiver, Alabama. This guy could drop for me. He's going to be a high draft pick because he's what the NFL want. I think he's going to be a better NFL player than fantasy player. I think he weighed.
He's 160 pounds.
A little bit more. Than, yeah. I don't know how accurate these DLF weights are. I don't know where they source them from. I've got him down at 168, so nearly touching 170. He's going to get an opportunity now with Ruggs going to the NFL to showcase himself in Alabama there and develop a little bit of, hopefully develop a little bit of chemistry with Mac Jones. But yeah, it's just that worry. He's that Henry Ruggs type player, but I've just got him there because I think he'll get the draft capital. I think he's potentially going to be a day one pick.
Well, he's certainly going to see a lot of the targets this year, isn't he? So in that Alabama, with what's coming to the NFL out of that Alabama offense.
Is the worries about his hands and his catching ability?
He is just used as a deep threat. He had, I think he had quite a high percentage of drops last year, what they say, but, unconcentrated drops. I don't know what the stats were with that as to how many of them were actually accurate passes that he's dropped. But he's, if you look at his stats, he's played well. Last season, but this is a big year for him. It's a massive year for him. But if he has a John Ross type season, even a Henry Ruggs type season, and there will be touchdowns to go around in Alabama, then he's going to thrust himself into the potentially the first round of the NFL draft.
We all know the new end. Sorry, go on, Tim.
he creates great separation, which is what you need in the NFL as well. If you can clear that line quickly and get into that route as fast as possible with that separation, then, you know, NFL scouts really like that ability. It's the guys who at the line struggle to get that break and struggle to separate from DBs. So I think he's got that, but like you say, you know, if he's just going to be a deep threat or if there's worries about his hands, he might drop.
The thing is, I think we all know that the NFL is moving into that, especially at wide receivers. They want that speed, the speed guys. So you look at this class, for instance, you've got Jalen Reagor coming in, Henry Ruggs, who we've mentioned. The NFL is moving towards these speed guys. I don't like it personally. I've never been a fan of Justin Ross. I'm not a fan of Henry Ruggs. It's the way the NFL is moving. So Smith could very easily carve out a role within the current NFL.
Yeah.
My number 10, we've already mentioned, Max Borgi. I love Max Borgi. I've said it on Twitter. I'm so high on Max Borgi. I do not agree with the comps of Christian McCaffrey, but
I can see where they're coming from. A slightly, you know, I don't think he's going to be the player that Christian McCaffrey is, but you know, they did line him out wide as a receiver. He's got very good hands, can catch the ball out of the backfield brilliantly, yeah. Which is what is, you know, basically what is keeping his stock as high as it is. Needs to put a little bit of weight on going into the NFL, but I think he's going to have a role. I see him a little bit more of a sort of a Danny Woodhead than a Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, that's what I would say. Yeah, I agree. Because, he's one, according to DLF, he's 195 pounds at the minute.
Yeah. I've got the brain to think enough.
I don't think McCaffrey was that far off that, was he? To be fair, coming into
I think McCaffrey weighed in bang on 200 at the combine.
That's interesting. Who have you got your 10, Jason?
So my 10 is the next Alabama receiver, Jalen Waddle.
Interesting. Yep.
I prefer him to, it's quite a big gap for me between Devonta Smith and Jalen Waddle. I really, really like Waddle. Yep. Again, it's just this weight thing. We don't know how accurate these weights are at the minute. DLF have got him listed at 175, but he's a really, really good wide receiver. He's going to be going into his third season, obviously, at Alabama. Mm-hmm. I think he will be the number one there. And, you know, you just watch tape of him, the guy's absolutely electric. His run after catch is phenomenal. You can do all sorts of him, a little bit like what they did with Chenault. Not necessarily running the ball, but you know, loads of different trick plays and stuff like that. And you know, just go and watch tape of Jalen Waddle. And if you haven't already, then you'll certainly be warmed by that.
I agree. I've got Waddle at 9, but not 9, sorry. I've got Waddle at 8. Sorry, I'm looking. So, I agree with you. And it's what I said earlier in regards to Alabama. A lot of what they had has come into the NFL already, so there's a clear target there for Waddle to succeed this year.
Yeah.
At 9, I've got Najee Harris. I know you're a big fan, Jason.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a 224 running back, pounds, sorry, again, according to DLF. I think he does it all very nicely. I think he's going to be a good running back at the next level. I struggle with Alabama running backs coming to the NFL. Again, it goes back to Derrick Henry. I'm not a massive Derrick Henry fan, as people will know. But I've got Najee Harris up there. It'd be a day two pick, do we think?
I think he'll be an early day two pick, somewhere in round two. Again, that's based on what he's put on paper. The only thing I've got Najee Harris a lot higher than you, but the only thing I am wary of is that, you know, he is a senior. He decided to go back to school. Now, if a running back decides to go back to school, that is normally because you know, the draft committee, when they sit down and they have these interviews with these players, they've gave them a back to school grade and they've told them that, you know, they wouldn't be drafted where they would want to be drafted. So, you know, that's obviously what he's received. He wants to go back and break records and stuff at Alabama, but he's going to have Trey Sanders to deal with as well now. Yeah. I didn't rate the decision because, you know, I had him as a, you know, a top five, potentially even top four back this year. I don't know how much he's going to enhance his stock by going back, but I do love Najee Harris. We've just got to realise that the hit rate on running backs that are coming out as seniors is, you know, it's something to take note of.
No, I agree. I'm very much in that camp of a me with Alabama running backs, and I don't want to compare him to Derrick Henry, but it's what I see.
Yeah, he's a lot more athletic than Derrick Henry, and you know he catches the ball.
Yeah, I know he catches the ball. Yeah,
he's just like, he just looks like, you know, a high school kid playing with primary school players. You know, he looks like an NFL player. You know, when he's playing in the SEC, and I don't think he'll struggle with adapting to the NFL. You know, he's a strong boy. He's quick. He's what the NFL, you know, used to like. I'm just not too sure that he's that modern day NFL running back, because you can play him on all three downs, but yeah. You know, how many teams out there want a running back that can do that? They're probably going to look at him more as a compliment to a receiving back, but I think he's better than that.
He's my RB3 in this class.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Do you think there's less competition for him in the draft next year?
I think they look back on it, mate, because I certainly don't think that this running back class coming out next year is as good as what it was this year. You can look at it whatever way you want, but you know, the top out of the top, what have we got? Top three running backs, two of them are seniors. You know, two of them are in their last years, you know, of eligibility, and you know, normally if a running back is as good as, you know, if they get a round one or an early round two grade from the draft committee, then, you know, they'll come out as a junior. I don't, like I say, he's going to be what, nearly 24 before he comes into the NFL. It's just something you've got to be concerned with, really.
Yeah.
So nine for me, I've got Rashad Bateman, wide receiver out of Minnesota. I've had him higher than this, quite a lot higher than this. Do you know, the thing that scared me off about Rashad Bateman is Tyler Johnson.
I agree.
You know, you've got Tanner Morgan up there in Minnesota, who's proved himself as a good quarterback. You know, Bateman's a four-star prospect coming out. He had a better freshman year, I think, than what Tyler Johnson did, but he is a very, very different player. I think he's a better player, but you know, we have this thing with Devy where people hide their rankings, and you know, that there's guys out there that, you know, probably myself included, that 2 years ago, you know, maybe even 3 years ago, had Tyler Johnson down as a top 10, possibly even a top five wide receiver, and then he doesn't get NFL draft capital and he falls off a cliff. And that's what we got to look at with Devy. You know, is the same going to happen with Rashad Bateman? I don't know. He's a very, very good college player. I think he's going to be a good NFL player. He's got more prototypical X receiver size than a lot of these other guys coming out, but it's just buyer beware really there, because Minnesota's offense is, you know, all runs through Tanner Morgan throwing the ball, you know, nearly 30 times a game, and their stats are padded out because of it.
Ray GQ don't agree with you, mate. He's got him ranked number two in his rankings.
Who's that? Is he not? Yeah, he likes him, does he?
Yeah, Ray GQ.
Yeah. Like I say, I've had him up at five, I think, before.
Yeah.
Love the player, but half of these analysts, you know, on the DLF, I've, you know, been subscribed to it for a few years, and you know, again, they've had guys like Tyler Johnson, you know, up in the top five, top 10, and you know, then they'll have running backs that, you know, like Eno Benjamin as a, you know, around about five, and then he goes in the seventh round or sixth round or whatever it was. You know, you just got to be wary as to whether I try and factor into whether I think the NFL will like these players into my rankings just more than what, you know, us fantasy guys do.
Mm-hmm. So who have you got number eight?
So eight for me, a lot lower than what a lot of other people are going to think. I've got Rondale Moore. this guy is probably going to be one, if not two, three, maybe on most people's rankings looking across now. Yeah, it looks like everybody's pretty much got him at two. Look, he could rise for me. He really could. He's a great football player. Super, super exciting to watch. Again, it's just translating it across to the NFL. £174, 5'9". What offense does he go to and where does he play? Because if you're taking him with a top two, you know, rookie pick next year, top three rookie pick next year, you are expecting him to be a number one alpha receiver on an NFL offense. He's not that. He's not a number one receiver. You got guys that come into the NFL, you know, anymore at £175 and catch the ball 7 to 10 times a game and score 10 touchdowns. It doesn't happen. But, you know, I'm not saying I don't like the kid. He's a very good player. He's going to be young coming out as well. But, you know, I prefer to just throw a dart at a guy that I think could end up being a number one, you know, like a guy like T. Higgins coming out this year. That's just the way I go.
No, that's fair, mate. That's fair. I get you. I certainly do get you.
Is he quite prone as well?
Say again?
Is he quite injury prone as well? Like, I've seen lots of stuff when I've been watching, like, he's missed the odd game through hamstrings, and fast players in hamstrings have got worries because the hamstring injury is linked to ACL injuries and things like that. So you've seen it with Will Fuller. So,
yeah, he, to be honest with you, I wouldn't label him as injury prone because some of these guys we've already talked about have missed more games than what Rondale Moore has. But yeah, you're right. He gets put in positions in that offense where I think his volume is too much for what his frame can handle. And, you know, that will become even more of a problem in the NFL. What he did as a true freshman was absolutely phenomenal, but he did have an injury that kept him out for quite a few weeks in his sophomore season. So
cool.
Yeah, sorry.
Up to seven, we?
We are up to seven, yes, we are.
I'll try and speed this up a bit because we've got quite a bit to get through.
My
number seven is Justin Ross. Slipped a bit for me, but
I'm exactly the same at seven, so yeah. That's easy.
People don't really understand what he did as a freshman was absolutely phenomenal. He is going to be, if he has a good year this year, he could go in the round one of the NFL draft because NFL teams will look at him like they did with Mike Williams and go, "Oh, big guy, 6'4", you know, bit of a thin frame, but he's probably going to come in at 210-ish. You could compare him to T. Higgins. You could compare him to Mike Williams, other guys that have come out of Clemson. He is that sort of guy that Clemson look at. And I would sort of probably put him around about that, you know, how he'll come into the NFL. But we need to sort of see what kind of a season he's had. But, you know, you've got to bear in mind with T. Higgins leaving, all of them targets have got to go somewhere. And Clemson have got some other good young receivers coming through. That are sort of sophomores, and they could lean a little bit, possibly a little bit more on them. But I think we could expect his targets to go up probably 30 to 40 more targets minimum. And we'll see what he does with that.
I agree. I got him at seven as well. So I am fully in agreement with you there. So who's your six, Jason?
So my number six is probably going to be higher than a few people have got him, but I've got George Pickens at six.
Okay.
So where do I start with George Pickens? So he's not declaring. He won't come out until 2022. He's a sophomore this year. Plays for Georgia, 6'4", 207, 208. Got a nice thick frame, though, that he'll be able to add a bit of weight to. Was phenomenal last year with Jake Fromm in an offense that really sucked. You know, that was a terrible passing offense. You know, Georgia just run the ball like they're known. He's going to get more of a chance now with Jamie Newman. And I've seen JT Daniels has just signed as well for he entered the transfer portal and he's ended up in Georgia. So it'll be interesting to see who wins the quarterback race there. But George Pickens is going to eat this year. And then when he's finished eating this year, we're still going to have another year of him to watch. And I just think that we, at some point, George Pickens is going to be the number one overall Derby player. And if you can sort of, you know, get him earlier at a value, then do that.
Well, my six is going to cause shockwaves. I did it last time. It's Jamar Chase. He's not my number one. I think he's a product of an LSU system that was brilliant. I think he's going to really struggle this year without Joe Burrow. I said this last time he was on, me and you, Jason. I think I had him lower than this as well. When I see Jamar Chase, I just see someone, a product of the system that he was put in.
Yeah, I get that. You could say that about Jefferson as well. I mean, when you've got someone like Joe Burrow throwing you the ball, then your numbers are going to be inflated. But this is a thing, is a lot of people just hang their hat on Jamar Chase as the number one overall Devy player. And at the moment, they're right to do that. You know, what he did last year was absolutely phenomenal, 20-odd touchdowns, you know. But, you know, we have to look forward, like you say, in Devy. And he, you know, was he a product of the system, you know? Was, you know, the fact that Joe Burrow's, you know, now gone to the NFL, the offensive coordinator there has now gone to Carolina. You know, what is in store for Jamar Chase this year? It's going to be interesting, but you know, he's going to get first round draft capital. He's that good of a player. I've got him a fair bit higher than you, but I totally get them reservations, and there's a good chance that he isn't the first wide receiver off the board next year if he has a terrible season. But, you know, we'll see.
Do you think... how do I put it? So we have a beer bet on the podcast, on the Kickers Matter one normally. Do you think Jamar Chase will be number one next year in consensus rankings?
Do I think that he will be the first wide receiver drafted in the NFL, or do I think he'll be the number one rookie pick?
Do you think he'll be the number one rookie pick?
No.
Okay. No. I have generally, I'm not trying to be one of these guys that has a massive hot take. I just don't. I look at players when they become a part of a system, and that LSU system last year was... it was outstanding, wasn't it, really? They were the best team in college by a mile. And I think people get involved in that hype, which is what I see. Well, I see it with Clyde Edwards-Helaire this year. I think people get involved in that sort of hype train, and yeah, it's not for me.
Yeah, I totally get that, mate. And do you know what? There's not many fantasy guys out there that are switched on enough to think that as well. We do this. We're blindsided, even in the NFL, by how a player plays. And when the situation changes, we expect them to stay the same. And it don't always work like that. So I think you're right to have them reservations, mate.
Yeah. My number five is Pickens. So I'm not going to say any more than what you've added. I really like him. I also think he's someone that you could be talking about as the number one Devy pick next year.
I thought I was high on him, so that's lovely to hear.
So who is your number five then?
My number five is my boy Travis Etienne.
I've got him at number four, so yeah.
So, you know, I get called out on Twitter for this all the time. Like, I'm a Clemson fan. You know, I watch every Clemson game. I love him. He's a great kid, lovely boy.
Yeah.
Honest, you know, really, really hard worker, do anything he can for the team. But, people had him as their first running back, you know, if he was going to come out this year. And, you know, he got a return to school grade from the draft committee. He's now going to be coming in as a senior with a lot of carries, a lot of yards, a lot of touchdowns, as I would expect any good running back in the Clemson system to have. He's very, very good to watch. I just, you know, I see Tevin Coleman. That's what I see when I watch Travis Etienne. And
that's not a bad thing.
Yeah, no, he's good. And, you know, Coleman was a second round pick or whatever he was, you know, coming into the NFL. And look, you know, he's going to be a top three rookie pick next year, definitely. But there are other running backs that I personally prefer as things stand over Travis Etienne. I have worries about him in pass protection. I did have worries about him in the passing game, but, you know, he caught, I think, 27 passes last season, so he put that to rest. I don't know, something just does not feel right about Travis Etienne, and that's why I'm a little bit lower than him on the other running
back. I'm just on the DFL rankings here, and I say Ray GQ's got him at number 8, which... You know, I've seen him that low on other people's rankings as well. Ray GQ's before, like, if anyone's not heard of him on Twitter, he's someone I quite respect with his Devy content. He's very good for me personally.
Yeah.
So to look at his ranking there, I mean, I've got Etienne at 4. I certainly agree with you with the Tevin Coleman comp. I think the pass catching improved last year.
Yeah.
Which was nice to see. And hopefully we can see further improvement on that this year. But yeah, I have concerns as well with him. I said on Kickers Matter tonight when we done that, people do not know how much pass protection means at the NFL level. And it really infuriates me that people, like for someone like Clyde Edwards-Helaire, for example,
yeah,
they crown him like this prince, this second coming, et cetera, et cetera. Pass protection for a running back is a very important thing. It's why Ronald Jones doesn't get on the field. It's a very, very important thing. So take note. And it's something, I'm not saying it's running, certain running backs can learn it throughout their career. So
yeah,
hopefully it's something Etienne can learn further down the road. But we will see. Who is your number? You're at number 4. So who's your number 4 then?
Who was your number 5?
I said Pickens.
Pickens 5, right. Yeah. My number 4 is Journey Brown. Running back, Penn State.
Yep.
I don't know, have you got him up there? Are you a bit lower on him, I imagine? Or
I'm a bit lower on him.
Yeah, I think the general Devy world is a lot lower on him. So Noah Cain was a 5-star running back coming out of high school. He was supposed to be the guy, the freshman that, you know, was going to be the next big thing at Penn State. And there was, you know, a bit of a running back by committee like there last year, and then sort of the last five games at the back end of the season and going into the bowl game, Journey Brown had 3, maybe even 400-yard games when he was given the rock. He's a track athlete, long jumper, triple jumper, 100-meter runner. He's going to run a similar time to Jonathan Taylor did at the combine. Very, very high on Journey Brown. I like the fact that he's only going to be a junior as well this year. And I like the fact that he's someone that not many people, other people are talking about, because I think that he will be, well, to me, he is already in that mix with your Etienne, your Harris and Hubbard. So, yeah, I'm very high on him and keep an eye on him this year, because I think Penn State will be a team to watch this year. And he's gonna be given an opportunity to show what he can do that he didn't really get an opportunity to last year.
Yep. No. I just looked at his ranking on DLF actually. It's, he's ranked 40th in their overall rankings. So, I can see where you're coming from. So, who is your number 3?
Who did you have it for?
I had Etienne. Etienne's my 4, mate.
Etienne 4. Okay, my number 3 is Jamar Chase.
Okay.
So my top wide receiver. He's a consensus first rounder next year. The draft capital is swaying it for me. he was a very highly touted recruit coming out of high school. Obviously, he's shown what he can do in a good system. So NFL teams will look at that and think, well, if I have a quarterback, if I have an offensive coordinator that can do that with him, then, you know, he's going to be well thought of going into the NFL draft process. He already is well thought of. I mean, a lot of people, I've heard reports of scouts saying that if he came out this year, that he would have been the first wide receiver off the board this year. Yeah. A lot of people have got him at one. I just think, like you say, you have to have them sort of that worry that, you know, his production is going to tail off. His production will tail off. No matter what happens, he will not put up the same yardage, was 1,800 yards and 20 touchdowns or whatever it was. He won't put that up this year. But, you know, I know that, and that's where I've got him. So,
yep. No, great. he was your number three, wasn't he?
He's my number
four.
Three.
My number three, controversial, probably, Seth Williams, Auburn, wide receiver. There we go.
Love it.
Love Seth Williams. I knew he'd go a bit funny on me there.
No. Great job.
Listen, he didn't have what we would call a massive season last year, but what was it? 830 receiving yards and 59 catches. But that was double the number of any other wide receiver on his team.
His start was phenomenal, yeah.
He's clearly the wide receiver one, massive catch radius. And he's one of them guys that you're... He's a deep bomb threat, you know, down the field. And he's the ultimate X wide receiver for me. I really like Seth Williams, and I think at the next level, I see Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I'm a massive Stephon Diggs fan, so I don't know what, you know, other people...
Yeah, I don't think he's quite the route runner that Stephon Diggs is. I really like Seth Williams as well. I got him at 17 in this format, but I will, obviously we've got a Devi auction coming up next week, and you know, he will be one of the guys that I mark down as I want him on my team. I just think that you can get him at a better value than that, but I really respect that, you know, having the view that not many other people have is you've got to stick your neck out and stick with your guys in Devi. And he's got a big season coming up this year. My worry is the quarterback situation. They've got Bo Nix, who I don't really rate. Is he going to be able to put up the production? Is he going to be like a Bryan Edwards, where he had a massive target share, he had a massive yards per team passing attempt, you know, decent amount of touchdowns, but he just didn't have a massive amount of stats. Is he going to be thought of like a Bryan Edwards, which is fine if he is, but I can't put him up there with guys like Jamar Chase and George Pickens.
That's fine. I really like him. And that, you know, when I get my sort of bee in a bonnet about someone that I like, it's like Justin Jefferson in this class. I go with it, and I'm going to ride that train.
Yeah, don't blame you.
So if we go to number two, my number two is Chuba Hubbard.
Yeah.
I'd say running back. I think he's probably the consensus number one running back at the minute.
I don't know. Again, on DLF, possibly. Yeah. He's got great
vision. He's got upside in passing, and he just does it all as a running back for me.
Yeah. The only worry for me is that pass protection worry. That's the only thing with Chuba, but it's not enough for me to worry about at all. My number two is Najee Harris. He's my number two running back coming out next year. This is massively different in Superflex. And it depends how you want to build your team as well. But, you know, whether you need wide receivers more than running backs, etc. But, you know, you do got to look in Debbie rankings. You have to, I think, look at that next year's crop of running backs. And, you know, they normally are somewhere near the top of what a consensus Debbie rankings will be, because they're going to be the ones that have the biggest impact on your dynasty rosters coming into rookie drafts. And like we said, Jamar Chase may well end up being the top Devy asset, but he's not going to go first in rookie drafts because of what people think of running backs coming in. But yeah, so Harris, number two for me. Don't need to talk a lot about him. There's loads of stuff out there about him. Just a little bit of a worry that he is obviously going to be coming into the NFL as a senior.
I'm worried that he could have declared this year and...
Yeah, exactly.
Obviously told not to.
Yeah. I don't know if it was... He didn't hold off on his decision as long as what Etienne did, so I don't really know whether it was a... You know, that was already a predetermined decision for him. I'm not really too sure. But yeah, again, it was a strange decision to go back to school. But I do love him as a prospect.
And who's your number one then?
So number one for me is Chuba Hubbard. Again, my only worry a little bit is that pass protection worry, but I have seen enough on film for it to not be a huge concern as much as what it is so potentially for Travis Etienne. But yeah, he's just phenomenal to watch. Look at them stats. Just look at the numbers. What he's done at Oklahoma State in that offense. And you know, I just love everything about him coming out. He's got a very good head on his shoulders. He's quite sort of a laid back guy. He's not up himself. Great player.
My number one is Rondale Moore. Wide receiver, Purdue. Yeah. Again, this is consensus. I think he's probably he's probably wide receiver two consensus on most sites that you go on. Great speed, very quick. The only concern with him is the size. Don't know what you think of his size. He's 5'9", isn't he? So.
That's a big enough concern to push him down my board for me. But yeah, you know, I can't argue with you. He's consensus number two wide receiver coming out so next year. So, and the NFL will love him. You know, he's going to get the draft capital.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look, what was it? 2018, 114 catches, 1,258 yards and 12 touchdowns.
Yeah.
I really like Rondale Moore. So that brings us to the end of our sort of top 15. We need to get them. Well, I need to get mine posted up on the website, actually. So 2021 player talk. I mean, we've sort of covered a bit of it within the rankings there, haven't we, I suppose, with a lot of these players.
Yeah, I, to be honest with you, I don't think that's a massive topic that we need to get into because we'll sort of answer it with some of the questions, but...
Let's do that then. We'll answer the questions. You've got the questions in front of you, so fire them away. And
yeah, all right. So first one is from Rich Price. How does the 2021 class of wide receivers compare to the 2020 class?
I think I sort of said this earlier. I think the 2020 class is more in depth, personally. I think it's more depth, to it than this 2021 class. The guys that I'd like. I mean, you know, I can go through the whole thing. Like Bryan Edwards, who we're getting in second rounds. I know me and you, Jason, are big Bryan Edwards fans. Again, someone like Antonio Gandy Golden, I like. Love the situation he's landed in Washington. And if you're going to go deep, I love Gabriel Davis. I liked him before the NFL draft. And I still like the landing spot for him.
Yeah, I do as well, yeah. I think with this 2021 class of wide receivers, you know, like you said, a lot of it is going to come down to landing spot. You know, talent is something that this is where we try and we figure out whether we like guys at the Devy stage, but then a lot of it will change when it comes to landing spot. Not so much, you know, in a rebuilding dynasty or how I like to play. So my running backs are heavily reliant on landing spot, whereas wide receivers, I do try and stick with the talent a bit. But I think it could be equally as strong as the 2020 class. I don't see many true, you know, number one X type wide receivers. And, you know, perhaps some guys that may be better for the NFL rather than fantasy. I don't know if that makes sense. You know, we're looking at a lot of these speed guys, these deep threat guys that are coming in, and the 2021 class is full of them. But I don't actually think the wide receiver class is as deep as what, I mean, the 2020 wide receiver class was, what, it was legendary, wasn't it? You know, you have got guys like, you know, like you said, Bryan Edwards, you know, round three, Chase Claypool, round three, Denzel Mims back around two. In a lot of other years, they'd have been potentially late first round prospects, but it was just so deep. I don't see that as much in the 2021 class, no. But it was a good class.
It's for me that when I say I get to guys like Tamori and Terry, and I watch a lot of Terry, like at Florida State, and it just it does something to it. It just makes me sort of scrunch my face up, kind of thing. It's very weird what it does. It's I get past sort of, I don't know, eight or nine guys at the wide receiver position, and yeah, I think for me this class in 2020 is so more in depth than what we're going to get in 2021.
Yeah. So next question then from Kev. He's probably just trying to work out who we like before we have this big auction draft next weekend. But top 10 sleepers of the 2021 draft. I've written loads of guys' names down that I'm happy to discuss, but I haven't really gone for a top 10. But yeah, so he's after top 10 sleepers of the 2021 draft. And by a sleeper, I'm assuming, you know, it's no one that we've already talked about. You're looking at guys that potentially, you know, aren't in the top five, that maybe even the top 10 at their position.
I'll let you start. Go on, you start with it, and then.
So I've just broken down by position then. So quarterbacks, guys that I think are going to be in a position to elevate their Debbie stock and their, you know, their draft stock this year. Mac Jones, Alabama, with Tua going. Taulio Tagovailoa as well. Tua's little brother had signed up with Alabama. He's now transferred. I think he's ended.
Yes, already transferred the other day, actually.
Yeah, he's gone to Maryland now. So that's Mac Jones's game for this year. He looked fairly good, I think, when he came in for Tua, when Tua went down injured at the end of the season. 6'2", 205, three-star guy coming out. I haven't got enough stats to grade him. Certainly not as a top 10 quarterback, but he's a guy to keep an eye on this year. Really like KJ Costello's situation at Mississippi State. Mike Leach, obviously, there. He's so he was a transferee, Costello. He's gone in this year. He's going to be a senior. Four-star guy coming out. He's got great size for the quarterback position, 6'5", 225, 63% career completion rate in college so far, averaging 8 yards per attempt, which is all right. And, you know, he's had a season before where he's thrown 29 touchdowns as well. And obviously that was in Stanford, which is, a running team, a screen team. They're not really gone are the days of Andrew Luck launching the ball down the field. So he's in a great situation at Mississippi State. And also Trey Lance, who has had a bit of buzz on Twitter. He's probably not a sleeper, so to speak, but I don't think, I haven't got DLF rankings up again, but I don't know where they've got him as their quarterbacks next year. But he's plays up at North Dakota State, the same places where Carson Wentz came out of. He's going to be a junior coming out this year. Wasn't highly recruited, but his tangibles are good. Good career completion percentage. He threw 28 touchdowns last year up there at NDSU. So they're guys at quarterback. Running backs, I won't get into them in as much detail, but guys that I think could rise. Keontae Ingram at Texas.
Yeah, you just think one of mine.
he's got a very crowded backfield there. Texas have recruited really well at the running back position. Yeah. So I don't know how much of the ball he's going to see this year, but he's got, I think, nearly 60-odd career receptions already. So yeah, he's going to be that. He's 6'1", I think. And he's I think he sits just under £200 at the minute. So he needs to bulk up a bit, but he's a guy that keep your eye on. Like I say, I mean, I've put Journey Brown in there at number four. I engage with a lot of other Devy guys on Twitter, and I know I'm higher than him on a lot.
Thoughts on Zamir White, Georgia?
Yeah, the only problem with Zamir White is they're two ACL tears, you know, different knees. I think it was two ACL tears, but he's injured both knees. Brilliant prospect coming out of high school. He fits that Georgia scheme really well. But again, you know, he's got a fair bit of competition there this year. I'd like to see, with the new offensive coordinator going in as well, they're moving into a bit more of a passing game. His stock could rise, and that is a great shout as a sleeper, because I think at the minute, you know, I think, what, a year ago, he was a top five Devy running back.
So, and
he's fallen off a cliff, so he's a great shout. Kennedy Brooks up at Oklahoma, he's a guy that just produces and just doesn't get recognised for me. He's, you know, he's in a good system. Kev will probably know more about him as an Oklahoma fan than what a lot of us do. But from what I've seen of him, I think he's a guy that you need to keep your eye on. A couple more then. James Cook at Georgia. He's been in trouble, been arrested over the offseason. So I wrote this up a little while ago. Georgia have stuck by him. Dalvin Cook's little brother. He's a very different player to what Dalvin Cook is. He's more of a scat back screen guy, but he needs to sort of keep his nose clean, or he might not even get drafted. Jatavius Whitlow at Auburn and Javian Hawkins at Louisville, both guys that, as things stand at the minute, I don't think will get heavy draft capital. Hawkins is a great running back, but he's very lightweight. I think he's about 180 pounds. Wide receivers, Nico Collins, Michigan, Terrace Marshall at LSU. He's going to get an opportunity to fill the void left by Justin Jefferson.
Sorry, what do you think of Master Two guy?
Ohio State.
Yeah, that's one.
Yeah. Opportunities there now that J.K. Dobbins has gone. He's had a couple of injuries before. I'll be honest, I'm probably leaving him for other people with where he'll go in Devy drafts. I like him, but you know, you've got, they've had a decent recruiting class at running back at Ohio State. And I believe Trey Sermon's just transferred there as well, hasn't he? So,
oh, has he?
Yeah, Trey Sermon's has gone up there from
Oklahoma,
yeah. So, not massive on Master Teague, if I'm honest. I think Trey Sermon could beat him out. We'll see. So receivers, Brennan Eagles at the Texas is a good shout. Justin Shorter in Florida. Again, he's had some disciplinary problems, but he's hell of a talented. Couple of guys that I wanted to mention that narrowly missed out on my top 15 that I think are really, really good receivers. Tutu Atwell at Louisville and Sage Surratt at Wake Forest. Again, they're sort of hovering around that sort of, I don't know if you've got DLF rankings up at the minute, they're probably around that sort of 15 to 25 range at receiver.
I've got the DFL rankings up here. Who did you mention? Sorry, you just cut out there for some reason.
Yeah, so Tutu Atwell from Louisville. And Paige Surratt from Wake Forest. Really like both of them guys.
I'm looking. I can't find them. They're not even in the top.
Yeah, so I've got Sage Surratt there at 15 on their wide receivers. He's their 15th overall.
Yeah, go on.
And as for Tutu Atwell, I can't see. They've got him like 51, so way out. So,
yeah.
Again, if he's talking about sort of scatty wide receiver, if you could get him at like that far deep down in a Devy draft, I mean, that's pretty much undrafted. But
yeah,
if it's a deep Devy draft, he's a guy to honestly just sit on and see what happens with him. He graded out. I put a few of these guys through my model, my sort of wide receiver model that I used for rookies, and he graded out top five in that. So you know, we'll see. But he's a guy to keep an eye on. And then at tight end, there's a few tight ends that would probably all be classed as sleepers. So the two big guys that are coming out next year, Brevin Jordan and Kyle Pitts. I wouldn't really say that they're big sleepers. Really like Kyle Pitts coming out of Florida. You've got Pat Freiermuth at Penn State. He was a guy I put down as a sleeper. I think he could be right up there with them next year. Big prototypical tight end. Reminds me a bit of TJ Hockenson. And Eric Gilbert, who's just gone in at LSU. He's a freshman, five-star recruit coming out of high school. Guy to keep an eye on that. I think that LSU offense could run through over the next 3 years.
What about Charlie Kohler coming out of Iowa?
Yeah, again, it's just...
I'm just thinking of the school, mate.
You're thinking of the what, sorry?
The college, sorry.
Yeah, Iowa.
Yeah.
Again, it's that... What, you're just thinking about the system there?
Yeah.
He's going to have a great opportunity. There's loads of great weapons that Iowa have got this year. Haven't watched too much tape on him. Been quite difficult to sort of find a decent amount of tape on him. But he's a guy that Debbie Watch have got a lot higher than what I have. They're quite high on him. So that's a great mention, mate.
And have we got any more questions? Sorry, before we move
on. So we've got one from Tim here. So what do you look for in players coming into college now? So how do we go about sort of scouting guys that are coming out of high school and going into college? So really, it's quite difficult to get high school tape unless they're like a really highly touted prospect. The best thing that I go off for is just the composite rating to start off with. So just to explain a composite rating then. So 24/7 Sports, Rivals and ESPN award a composite rating to all high school players. It's normally between 2 and 5 stars. And normally the top 25 to 30 players in the nation are awarded 5 stars. That's across all positions. 4 stars is normally like between the top 250 and 300 players, and then a 3-star grade is like top 750 players coming out of high school. You normally see a number if you look on the 24/7 Sports website, you'll see a number which is a rating that they're all given. It's out of like 10,000, so to speak. So that number is all time, so it's what they scored. So you're going to get guys, say potentially at wide receiver, like the top freshman wide receiver coming out this year was Julian Fleming. So you're going to compare, even though he's a 5-star prospect, you get to compare that number to what, say, Julio Jones was coming out of high school and things like that. It's a really good place to source all your information. Them grades are determined by local scouts and evaluators and media. Like I said, it's hard to get hold of high school tape. So, and high school tape, I find, can be very misleading. I mean, did you see, for example, Najee Harris's and Trey Sanders' high school tape?
Yeah, if you look at Trey Sanders' high school tape, it's unreal. I mean,
the thing is them guys are big, solid athletes that are playing against, you know, Sean from up the block, you know. they just look ridiculous.
So I look quicker, so you know, I can relate it to playing football and being one of the smaller lads going into high school.
Yeah,
the ones who developed quicker, they were faster, they were bigger, they were able to jump higher, everything like that. So you get a lot of that at different ages, right? One question that follows on to that is, do you look for specific college teams to take players? So obviously loads of good running backs come out of Georgia, so you go, right, okay, who's the next intake going into Georgia, and then you follow them more closely? Or do you look for specific traits that they have coming into somewhere like Georgia or wide receivers at Ole Miss or something? I don't know.
I think the where they go is pretty important, but then you can look at guys like, I don't know, like a John Emery. I mean, I'm not going to call him a bust, but we can. I mean, we're going to. John Emery was quite a high Devy darling last year, wasn't he, Jason?
Yeah. And I still like him. I mean, you get a good opportunity.
Yeah, of course.
But you look at that school that he's gone to at LSU, and the system is that school runs is very important. And you know, these guys coming out of high school, you know, they take that into account. You know, these wide receivers, you know, they're always going to want to go to the best school that gives them the best chance of putting them in the NFL. You know, that's why SEC schools do so well with recruiting them, because of the level of competition that they're going to be playing up against. When scouts look at that, they go, oh, you know, he ran for 180 yards against Alabama. You know, that proves he can do it in the NFL, you know, so on and so forth. So you do look at what schools they go to. A lot of players stay in state or they stay local. Tim actually mentioned it, especially with what's going on at the minute, you know, with the virus and whatnot. A lot of them have had to sign with local schools because they haven't been able to get around and visit many other schools. But, you know, if you get a guy, you know, the top rated running back, for example, you know, Bijan Robinson coming out this year as a freshman, you know, as a Texas guy, you know, if he, you know, he signs for Texas, you don't think, oh, you know, why hasn't he gone and signed for Georgia, or, you know, why hasn't he gone and signed for, you know, Alabama or whatever. You know, it's a bad example because Texas are a really good school. But, you know, if a guy stays in state, that doesn't necessarily put a down on for me. I look quite highly on that, especially if they're a five-star guy and they've chosen a smaller school over potentially a bigger school. But, yeah, I mean, so wide receivers, Jeff Scott, the Clemson wide receiver coach, the way it works in college football and scouting is a lot of the position coaches actually scout the players coming out of high school. So Jeff Scott, the wide receivers coach for Clemson, would go down to Florida and he would scout a guy from a wide receiver coming out of high school from Florida. He would be the guy that he engaged with, and ultimately, if he signed him, then that's a great, you know, tick against his resume. You know, that's how it works. So positional coaches have a massive say on who signs for those schools. So, you know, you've got, for example, you said Georgia with running backs, Ohio State now with wide receivers. I mean, they took 2 5-star receivers last year. This year they've got themselves Julian Fleming, they've got Jackson Smith and Giba, they're both 5-star wide receiver guys coming out. And, you know, you could look at that and think, bloody hell, you know, they got really, really stud wide receivers there. They're not all going to be able to play, but they think that that's the school that gives them the best chance of putting them in the NFL. You know, in terms of where players get, like Clemson, Ohio State, USC have recruited really well at wide receiver. Oklahoma, a lot of people want to go and play in that system up at Oklahoma.
No one wants to play for FSU.
No. FSU, you know, the O-line is what's let them down there for years, but they produce some very good defensive. I like the defensive tackle, Marvin Wilson, coming out.
We normally produce very good corners or safeties and running backs.
But if you look at a lot of the guys that Florida State recruit, that they are Florida guys as well. They don't recruit great from the rest of the country. So in terms of the powerhouses for recruiting at the minute, you're looking at Ohio State, Clemson, Georgia, Alabama, Michigan have had a couple of recent good signees, and Texas. Texas have done really well as well. They're the ones. I don't know if that answers your question, Tim. It's a bit of a sort of, I don't particularly look for what schools they've gone to as opposed to what divisions they're playing in. Like if someone chooses Memphis as a 5-star recruit or a 4-star recruit, you know, they ain't going to be playing the same competition as if someone chooses, you know, from Baltimore chooses Maryland, you know, which is a smaller school, but they play in the Big Ten. You know, it's more the competition that they're going to be playing is what I'm looking at.
Right. That's cool. Thank you.
Reese's question, last one. Apart from Lawrence and Fields, which quarterbacks should we look out for in 2021 and beyond?
Go on, you can start. I'll let you lead this one.
Well, I just listed a few guys off that I like. So obviously 2021, we mentioned about Trey Lance. Brock Purdy at Iowa State is a guy to look at.
Yeah.
Tanner Morgan up at Minnesota. Jamie Newman at Georgia.
Yeah, that's the one definitely to look at.
But, you know, JT Daniels has just gone there as well. So, look, Jamie Newman should be starting for Georgia. But
has he just transferred, has he, JT Daniels?
It was about an hour and a half ago, I think it was, just before this pod. So, 2022, Sam Howell is the best quarterback for me in 2022 class. North Carolina guy. Great as a freshman. He's only going to be a sophomore this year.
I like Spencer Rattler from that class, Oklahoma.
Yeah, he's not throwing a football yet, though, is he? You know, that's the only thing that, you know, we've got anything we can put him up against. It's Kedon Sloffis as well at USC. So he was only a 3-star guy, I think, coming out. He beat out JT Daniels. He looked really, really good. He's someone that is to keep an eye out. And then if you want to look beyond that, 2023.
It's DJ from Clemson.
DJ Uiagalelei at Clemson. Again, not throwing a pass yet. He was the second ranked quarterback coming out behind Bryce Young, who's gone to Alabama.
Yeah, and you've got Stroud as well. He's gone to Ohio. Yeah. Sorry.
He was a 4-star. CJ Stroud is a real sleeper to look at, because what I look at with that is, look, he ain't going to play this year with Justin Fields there, but then that's his game, you know, his offense after that. Yeah. He's going to be walking to the same offense that Fields left. He's got, a fairly solid offensive line to play behind. And like I said to you before, the last 2 years, Ohio State have absolutely nailed it with recruiting wide receivers. He's going to be throwing the ball to, you know, potentially 3 first-round NFL draft picks. He's a guy to really keep an eye on. And you can get him fairly cheap at the minute. I don't know. Again, I've not got DLF rankings up at the minute, but with him being 2023 guy and the fact you'll have to sit on him for a year.
I will get it up now. He is... he is their QB 19. QB.
Bargain.
So, yep. No, I agree.
Anyone else you want to mention, mate?
No, I've sort of gone through it, so happy with that. And then I suppose we'll just quickly, should we answer this like a question? It's a, how do you translate QB success to the NFL? So we'll answer it like a question.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, stats, and figures and numbers and analytics is something that I'm quite big on.
Is school important though? Because I mean, you look at someone like Wentz. I have Wentz above Goff, but Wentz went to a smaller school than Goff.
Yeah,
but I'm just saying. For instance, that class. I'm bringing that class up. And then, what was the class after that? So you've got the Darnold class. So who went in that? Josh Allen, Baker, Darnold.
Yeah.
Trying to think who went in that class. Rosen, number one.
Rosen, yeah.
I take school into account quite a lot.
They all came out of quite big schools, though, to be fair, though, didn't they?
Yeah.
Carson Wentz one's a good example, but he still went number 2 overall in the NFL draft. But, you know, I like Wentz in the NFL. But, you got to look at is the competition that they've been playing. You know, like some of the schools that NDSU are playing up there, Wentz hasn't had to put much on tape, and it's the same with Trey Lance. You know, the numbers that he's put up are against weaker opposition. In terms of evaluating a prospect, the hit rate on quarterbacks below 4-star that actually get drafted in the first round of the NFL draft is 7%.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, composite rating, you know, what class they are coming out, 4-star, 5-star coming out of high school is quite important. The school they go to is important. In terms of actual production in school, the metrics that I looked at that translate the most to the NFL are completion percentage in college,
mm-hmm.
yards per attempt in college, and passing touchdowns in college. There's absolutely, I can't find any correlation with interceptions in college to the NFL.
No, but I said that you're going to go on the interceptions. I look at Darnold with that. I said coming out that I just saw Jameis Winston and Sam Darnold, because in college, I watched one game of his. He threw 4 interceptions in the first half and then he threw 5 touchdowns in the second half.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't take a lot of that into account. The school thing is my big thing coming into the NFL.
Yeah, and who's coached them and things like that. What sort of schemes have they run? You know, do they play in under center as well as in the shotgun? You know, there's all of these little things if you want to get deep into scouting quarterbacks and stuff. But in terms of, big things to look at is the type of opposition that they've been playing and, you know, what sort of numbers they've put up. In, you know, if for example, a few guys have come under the radar here. So Tanner Morgan at Minnesota was a 3-star. He's probably not going to be a very high draft pick. He had a 66% completion ratio last season, 10.2 yards per attempt, which was number one out of all qualifying quarterbacks, and 30 passing touchdowns. Yeah, I don't know where DLF have got him as a quarterback, but he won't be high. He's not even talked about as a first round draft pick in the NFL at this stage yet. But you've got guys like Spencer Rattler, like you mentioned before, who people are getting carried away with. But he's not thrown a football yet. I just think in terms of stats that translate across the completion percentage, yards per attempt, and passing touchdowns. But like Jack said, the school that you go to, the staff that you're put around. Look at Shea Patterson, at Michigan last year. He didn't get drafted, did he?
He didn't. I don't think he did. I don't know if he's been picked up as a unrestricted free agent. He's certainly didn't get drafted.
You know, went to a big school, played against big competition, but didn't do anything.
What was terrible.
Yeah.
Which is why a lot of people were down on Donovan Peoples-Jones.
Yeah. Yeah, so Reese, hopefully that answered it for you, mate. But you want to look at systems that the quarterbacks play in and what sort of numbers they put up in them systems.
Great. That's us done. I think, boys?
Yeah, we were just going to talk about a couple of freshman players, were we? Or is that just coming in?
Yeah, I mean, go for it. If you want to switch, yeah, go for it.
Just kick guys to keep an eye on. So if you want to get ahead of the game, so wide receiver position. So these guys are guys that are going to be freshmen this year that have just come out of high school. I'll only talk about 5-star guys, a couple of 4-star guys. So Julian Fleming, coming out of Pennsylvania, he's signed with Ohio State, 6'2", 200 pounds, number one overall wide receiver recruit. He's a guy to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
Kayshon Boutte, he's gone to LSU. 6'1", 180. He sort of looks like he translates to a slot type wide receiver. Demon Damas out of Texas. He's signed with Texas A&M. Another 5-star guy. Really lean type player. Little bit like Justin Ross come out. Same sort of frame. Rakeem Jarrett coming out of Washington DC. He's signed with Maryland. Another 5-star player.
Quite like DeMarcus Bowman, RB Clemson.
Yeah, I'll come on to the running backs. He's definitely.
Go on.
So Jackson Smith Najigba, again, Ohio State wide receiver. And then just the one tight end that I mentioned already, Arik Gilbert going to LSU. 5-star tight end.
Yeah.
We haven't had one of them in a while. Yes, mate, so you already mentioned running backs then. So DeMarcus Bowman, the only thing with DeMarcus Bowman, so he signed now, and then they've now had Will Shipley sign as well for 2021. Okay. So 2 5-star guys potentially that they're going to have coming out, but really like him. There's only 3 5-star running backs coming out as freshmen this year. Bijan Robinson, Arizona guy, born and bred in Texas, went to school in Arizona. Very good size already, 6'2", 202 pounds. He's signed with Texas. He's the number one overall running back coming out. Zachary Evans, you probably know a little bit about him, Jack, as well. He's a bit of a shitbag. He's got himself into trouble to no end. He was a right drama queen when it came to choosing his school, dragged it out as long as he possibly could. He was pretty much, I think Crystal Ball had him down to sign with Georgia, something like a 90% chance of signing with Georgia.
Yeah,
that never happened, and he's ended up signing with TCU, so he stayed in Texas. Unbelievable talent, better for me than Trey Sanders and Najee Harris, but
yeah,
you've got to worry about them character concerns. And then you mentioned DeMarcus Bowman, a guy that Jeff Scott recruited for Clemson out of Lakeland in Florida, one of his last players that he recruited before he left. Tank Bigsby, Marshawn Lloyd, they're all four-star guys. Kendall Milton, who's gone to Georgia. Jamar Gibbs, who stayed at Georgia Tech. And Jace McKellen, who's gone to Alabama, sit behind Najee and Trey Sanders for a bit.
Yep.
A few names there to mention.
Well, I hope that helps everyone with their Devy drafts and things. And as Jason's mentioned, we've got a auction Devy draft coming up in a week or so, which will be pretty good. I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, we won't leave it as long next time. I know, Alan, I'm struggling to find time to do stuff at the minute. So I know Alan will be joining Jason from here on out with the Devy podcast. I will be here and there when and where I can. Hope you enjoyed that. And thanks, guys. Thanks for joining, Tim.
No, thanks for letting me listen in.
Hope you got some Devy advice there, mate.
I'm taking that draft by storm next week.
cheers, Jason. As usual. Yeah, it was good. Good fun. Cheers, guys.
Cheers.